I'm Anna Carmo with UN News. The streets of China's capital having gone eerily quiet following the COVID-19 outbreak, Beijing is now slowly returning to its usual vibrant self. Cases are falling and people are cautiously returning to work, following new advice laid out by the World Health Organization, or WHO. The UN offices in Beijing will reopen on Monday, and in an interview with UN News, resident coordinator in China, Nicholas Rossellini, said good communication was vital to avoid panic and unwarranted stigmatization around the world. Mr. Rossellini spoke to our China section colleague, Siwan Qian, who is currently based in Shanghai.
Well, it's quite an unusual time to be in Beijing. Beijing is normally a very a lively and busy city, full of traffic, full of people walking around. A lot of people you see in the parks and the gardens and the shops and the restaurants. And of course, all of that has now more or less stopped. So we really see a very quiet, empty city now. And it's very strange feeling going out and being the only person or one of very few people out and about. But of course, this is all in the interest of containing the coronavirus. And many people have been under 14-day self-quarantine at home to make sure that the outbreak is contained and it's not spread any further. So here in the UN offices, we've also been working from home. This is to limit gatherings, to ensure social distancing, and is in line with WHO advice in order to minimize the risks of our staff and other people, of course, as well, catching the virus. And from Monday, we'll start the gradual return to work. So our offices will be reopened and people will be returning to the offices over the next two to three weeks on a gradual basis.
Do you wear masks or are you planning to wear masks next week when going back to the office? And because in China right now, most of the offices will take a series of measures of precaution, like taking temperatures, so on and so forth. Is UN going to do the same?
Yes, more or less. I think we will be taking temperatures. We've provided all our staff with masks and thermometers and hand sanitizers. And we will be enforcing good practice in the office in terms of taking temperature, sanitizing the work areas, using hand sanitizers frequently. Now, masks is an interesting question because yes. The practice in China, of course, and in many countries in Asia, is to wear masks during any sort of epidemic, whereas the medical advice from medical professions is unless you're in a highly risky environment, it's not necessary to wear a mask. And that by everyone wearing masks, you may reduce the supply for those who really need them. But at this point, I think the advice in Beijing is to wear masks. I think it's also something that will make many of the staff feel more comfortable. So we will be wearing masks and we will be explaining to staff how to use them safely because masks, if they're reused too much, can be quite dangerous in terms of health and they need to be worn in the right way. It'll be done in a way that meets the WHO requirements in terms of how you put it on your face and that they need to be changed on a regular basis.
Have you been in China the whole time during this outbreak? And if so, what have you seen or heard or felt during this period? Anything stick out?
Well, yes, I've stayed here the whole period. I was here for the Chinese New Year period. And then, of course, afterwards when the epidemic became more serious. What I've seen is how the whole machinery came into play. I've seen Beijing going from a city celebrating the Chinese New Year with many people out and about to a city where everyone is taking the precautions in terms of the health and to reduce risks of exposure and reduce risks of transmission. And I've seen the city really change in terms of the atmosphere in the city. Of course, this has had a good result. I mean, the number of new cases is declining every day. The new confirmed cases is declining. I think we are looking maybe not at the end of the tunnel, but we see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we can start planning for more normal work.
What's your impression or any comment on China's response efforts and containment measures?
I think China has taken a very vigorous set of actions to contain the spread of the virus. And it's also been very efficient at mobilizing the human and other resources that are needed to do that. And from what I can see, the measures have been very effective. One thing that I think stands out for me has been the emphasis on information sharing. There's been a lot of information sharing through various media, and I think this is very important to reduce the level of uncertainty, the level of lack of knowledge, to reduce the reasons why people might panic, and for people to have the right information so that they can make the right decisions, informed decisions. And I think this is something that needs to be built on for the future as well, because I think strong communications with the public, with communities, it has been very important. You know, looking ahead, we need to look not just at the immediate health impacts, but also at the indirect health impacts. For example, people who have underlying health conditions, how have they been affected? People with other diseases that need treatment. And we need to look more broadly also at the socioeconomic impacts and see, you know, what the impacts have been on poor communities, what the impacts longer term has been on the health systems, and on the education systems, because of course children have not been able to go to school. So I think there's a lot of interesting information and lessons to be learned from what has happened. But I think the China experience in terms of being able to act very rapidly, very agilely, has been a very effective experience.
So what has you and China been doing in terms of support?
Well, China, of course, has a vast economy and normally doesn't need resources. But in this case, with the New Year holidays and with the closure of factories there and the very sharp spike in demand for protective gear for health workers and for masks and for sanitizers and things like that, of course, there was a gap in the period while China had to ramp up production on protective gear and other health items that were needed. So, I mean, that was where we provided the immediate support. A number of agencies have provided resources and have procured some of the medical equipment and emergency supplies that were needed. We've worked with the National Health Commission and the Ministry of Commerce. And we've procured medical equipment, masks, protective suits, gloves, surgical gowns, etc. You know, we've come together as a UN family here to do this. And UNICEF was the first agency and has so far sent three shipments. There have been also two shipments from UNDP, IOM, UNIDO, the Office of South-South Cooperation, UNFPA, have also organized shipments of supplies. So I think really we've come together as a UN family through all the various UN agencies to support China when it was facing this gap in terms of supplies.
How's the communication between UN, China and the government?
We've been working in China now for 40 years on development issues. And I think we have a long and good association with China. We are looking at working with the Chinese media and the social media platforms. We're very concerned about issues around stigma and discrimination. We see that to some extent within China for people from Wuhan, on how Chinese people are treated overseas, and indeed how Asian people in general are seen outside of Asia. I mean, what we need to ensure is that people understand it's not about them and us, it's about the virus. And you can't discriminate between people. It's very important to avoid stigma, and it's important to focus on the virus, which doesn't know borders and doesn't know them and us. We are both cooperating with China on the immediate emergency supplies that I've already mentioned, but we're also interested to look at the medium-term impact. We are working closely with the government on issues around multidimensional poverty and the elimination of extreme poverty in the rural areas. And we need to assess to what extent this type of a viral outbreak doesn't just have health impacts, but also has wider socioeconomic impacts.
Because of this outbreak, the PMI index has slowed down significantly. In your opinion, how would this outbreak affect China's economy?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And I think one needs to also look at it in the context of some of the other issues that have been impacting on the economy in terms of the trade war or the possible other trade issues that have been coming up in recent times. I think it's still difficult to say. I mean, it seems clear that the first quarter, maybe the first half of the year, we'll see an impact on the economy. Then the question is, to what extent is this a kind of deferred consumption and deferred investment? And will we see a strong rebound in the second half of the year? So I think many commentators anticipate that there will be, and as other countries now are experiencing the coronavirus, and that economic impact in other economies may then have a feedback loop into China. So it's not just so much about what the domestic impact of coronavirus is in China, which I think is quite likely to be overcome with a kind of a V-shape recovery. But but what is much more uncertain is what will the impact of economic slowdown in Europe or in the US or in other parts of the world? I mean, how will that affect China? So I think there are quite a lot of risks on the horizon, and I think we have to see, you know, whether we can effectively worldwide contain the coronavirus and minimize its impacts on economies, or whether this will continue for some time.